Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Sound.
Never had it so good. Sports Media Network presents Nina Jermaine Hurst-Clark, founder and chief executive officer, Amazing Mind Ministries, LLC.
Telling myself on the last mile, on the road to somewhere, but along the way I saw the wind and the rain, and to my surprise, blew my mind. So many times I had to hold on for my life,
And what we have done today with a circle of women that are dynamic and intelligent and beautiful inside and out. And I know without a doubt that my mother is proud of what I am doing. She passed away 2006, and her last words were, "You're my baby girl. You're my only girl. But mama's tired." Well, I know that she's shining down on me, and what we have done collectively with Minister Cheryl Lynn, Michelle Bennett, Renee Hewitt Hall, Dr. Gail Hayes, Minister Kimberly Smith, Tarsha Campbell, and Lizzie Robinson Jenkins, Tanya Smith, Pastor Regina Johnson out of Conroe, Texas, just finished with a live audience, and we're bringing it home with one of the best of all time, Nina Jermaine Hurst-Clark and Minister Mary. It's been a powerful day. And if you miss any of this, you can find it tomorrow and download it from blogtalkradio.com/neverhaditradio, and all of the episodes will come up. I just posted this current episode right now on Facebook. Everybody, go share it with your friends. And I have had a fever and a cold all night and all morning, but I was determined to finish this race. And we're doing that now with, again, one of the best that I've met in inside and out, Nina Jermaine Clark, Hurst-Clark. Listen, Nina, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for being a part of this. I want to say that right off the bat, and we'll get Minister Mary in here. And we've already got some callers on the board. I will check with them at about 15 after and see if they want to be on the show and talk a little bit. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely.
Awesome. I'll get Minister Mary in here. She was powerful on one of the earlier shows. Lena, you listened to several of the other shows. Thank you for your support. Tell the audience about you and what platform you're coming from. I know, and I love you dearly, but explain to them your story. I'll get Minister Mary to explain a little bit of her story, and then we'll proceed with how we can get healthy mentally and physically. Go ahead, Lena.
Yes. First of all, I would just like to say good evening to everyone and all of the listeners. I am delighted to be a guest on the show tonight, and I want to thank you, Princess, for such a wonderful opportunity to be able to share my purpose and passion with the people of the world. My passion is working with individuals that are diagnosed with mental illness, and it's such a large stigma attached to this disease. And so that is my passion, and that is my mission, to destigmatize mental illness.
And I understand that. And, you know, I want to champion this journey with you and go down this path and really encourage my listeners and, of course, everybody in my circle to know that it's okay. If you're not feeling good mentally, it's okay. It's okay actually to seek some advice. It's okay to seek some help. And what are your – expound on that for me before we get Minister Mary in here.
Sure. Well, you know, I want to say I am not a licensed medical professional. I am just a professional survivor. I am going to share with you and my, you know, my story and what motivated me to be obedient in my purpose. I recently wrote a book on mental illness titled An Amazing Mind, and it is available on Amazon.com. And my passion and purpose was birthed after losing my husband to suicide 6 years ago.
Yes, and let's get Minister Mary in here to kind of expound on how prevalent mental illness is for so many, not just Black, not just white. But Minister Mary, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I, as I said earlier when I came on for a short time, that I applaud you for dealing with relevant issues. So long, and I live in Detroit, and I'm here in Detroit, very well connected. My late husband and I had a ministry for over 30 years called Joy of Jesus. And when he left, I started writing my autobiography after he departed, I started a widow's ministry, and that's how I met Lena. Actually, she Googled me and found me on the internet for my widow's ministry. And it's so often is the case, God has more than one purpose for connecting people. Mm-hmm. We think it's one thing, and it turns out to be more than one thing. And so when she contacted me, it was for my Widows with Wisdom ministry, because she was a widow, and I, too, am a widow, and I have an organization here in Detroit for widows and beyond Detroit. It has spread like wildfire because there's not enough people out here helping widows. Now, having said that, I want to move to Lena, my project with Lena and her book, Amazing Mind, because we found out when I came to Atlanta that God had something more important in mind, and that was that she got her story told, and she did an awesome job of telling her story in a short period of time, but it was already on her heart. So you know when something is on your heart, it doesn't take long to put it on paper. And so I came there and worked with her to get her book together. And she thought at first she was going to do an autobiography. And perhaps at some time and point she will do that. But we end up doing this memoir. And a memoir is a defining moment in your life. Mm-hmm. And the loss of her husband, needless to say, was a defining moment. And that's what we did. We worked on the book. And eventually I hope that she will do her whole life story, because she is an incredible woman.
Yes, ma'am. I agree. I agree for
with
sure.
With regard to mental illness, let me just say in case I don't get to say anything else. I understand the mental health, mental illness issue, because I have, in my family alone, I have 3 generations of bipolar people. And, you know, you can't hardly turn on the TV anymore without hearing about some tragedy that has taken place as a result of people suffering from bipolar disease, and the churches are just not rising to the occasion. And so I really am on my bandwagon here in Detroit, and Lena's on hers there, and I really want to see this go even beyond Detroit, Atlanta, and into the uttermost parts of the world, because we have definitely got to deal with this issue, because God is going to hold us accountable for that. One day when we come before the Father, He's going to say, what did you do about it? And I do not want to be shamefaced standing up there in front of Him when that time comes.
Yes, neither do I want to do my part. And I want to ask you, Lena, there are so many places, but I guess I'll start at the beginning. Did you notice any signs? And if you notice some signs, help out the audience if they're going through some of this also. I had on a brother and sister a couple shows ago, and they talked about their mother is suffering from dementia, and she mm-hmm. showed the signs early, and they just kind of laughed it off. So tell me your son.
Well, you know, it's really a case-by-case situation. There are signs that we need to look for when it's our loved ones, and we're so apt to just brush it off, like you just stated, and push it under the rug, which we've done for so long. And that is my mm-hmm. mission, to destigmatize mental illness, because, you know, the behaviors could be anywhere from withdrawal from normal activities, family activities, or regular, you know, duties. Also, there could be episodes mm-hmm. of anxiety, anger, and also we find that some of the individuals may try to self-medicate through drugs or alcohol.
Wow.
And that case that happened with me, but at the same time, you know, with our regular activities and being so busy as a mother, a wife, and an entrepreneur, I did not connect the dots. And so that's so common, mm-hmm. you know, among us. So I really encourage individuals, loved ones, to pay attention to the behaviors. Understanding is the key. And just being able to understand, because that's what they're looking for. They're just looking for someone to open the door of understanding, because they're really lost. And our minds is our battlefield.
Amen. It is. You know, I was talking about my inability sometimes to not forgive, and I can't carry that on. And that's my mind, you know, and stress will take us all if we're not mm-hmm. careful. Minister Mary, if I remember correctly, you have two sons by two different fathers that suffer from bipolar themselves.
Yes. And not just them, but also their children. So I have three generations.
And that's what I was going to say. If I remember reading or just talking to you, their offsprings now suffer. How do you break, and I'm coming back to Lena in a minute, how do you break the cycle or the generational curse?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as Lena said, you have to, first of all, you have to admit that there's a problem. And my family was not willing to admit that, and it was very difficult because many of them are not Christians, walking in the Christian faith. Now, we know we have the power and authority that God has given us to break these curses. And so what we have to do is we have to really take this to prayer. Everybody is not going to listen, but God always hears our prayers. And we have to associate with those who are understanding what we're going through and pray the prayer of agreement in the name of Jesus and break these curses. Because even the people who are suffering won't always admit it. And so if they don't admit it, it's not a whole lot you can do. You don't want to get into a tit-for-tat and argument with them, because that's not going to solve it. So we have to go into our prayer closet and pray in agreement, because there's power in the prayer of agreement. And when we come together on one accord, and we all, I'm feeling the Spirit of God so strong right now, when we come together on one accord with people who understand what we're going through. That will be very honest. Mm-hmm. If you know me, I'm very transparent. Because my children had different fathers, I said, now this has got to be on my side of the family somewhere, okay? I decided I would take a psychological test, psychiatric test, and find out if it was me. Is it, where is it? Because this is coming from somewhere. So when it mm-hmm. when it came back, it said, told me I was borderline. Well, I went to my physician, and I asked him. I told him what I had been told. He said, let me tell you something. He said, I work with bipolar all the time, and you are nowhere near bipolar, so don't believe them. Well, I decided I won't believe them. But let me just say this. Some people need Jesus and meds. And we can, if they don't want Jesus, then they're going to have to take the meds. And you can't choke them down their throat, you know. So the work is done in the prayer closet. You got to get in your prayer closet and do the knee work, because they won't listen. They can see it in other people, but they can't see it in themselves. I've experienced that too. My one son mm-hmm. was dating a girl that was bipolar, and he kept telling me, she's bipolar. And I said, well, what about you? He said, well, I'm not bipolar, she's bipolar. So they will see it in other people, but they won't acknowledge it in themselves. And so until they know the truth, they can't get free. So we have to do the prayer of intercession on their behalf. We have to stand in the gap because God is looking for somebody to stand in the gap, and he has chosen us.
Amen. Amen. Lena, what steps have you taken to make sure that it stopped at that generation? And then I want to ask, what have you done just to – was the book your catharsis? Was that your therapy? But let's start with, what have you done to make sure this was not passed on to your kids at this point? That's not too difficult of a question.
No, absolutely not. You know, I want to encourage family members, again, it's so important that they take the time to understand the behavior of someone you know or someone that you don't know personally. Even sometimes we have friends and they have friends and you just see certain unusual behaviors. So, you know, a lot of them don't want to talk about it. They're in denial. And that's very common. You know, they don't want anyone to know that it's affecting them. Or anytime you talk about your mind because of the stigma that's attached. So I just encourage people to either reach out to them in a very loving way, you know, and just talk to them, try to find an intervention. There are various programs such as NAMI that they can, you know, reach out to because there are local NAMIs in every state. So they can look that up as well as, you know, area centers, your hospitals, their clinics. Just seek professional medical help. And oftentimes the behaviors are, you know, again, within the family members. And with mine, I would say my personal experience finding out after my husband passed that it was a generational curse on the maternal side of the family. And no one really talked about it. They continued to, you know, brush it under the rug. The last words were to him, you know, are you ready to go? So to me, I didn't take it as are you ready to take me with you because that's what he had told others, that he wanted to take himself and his wife with him. But his words to me were, are you ready to carry on what I'm about to leave you? And that was his vision because he started one of the businesses, which is called Care Oasis. And what we do is we reach out to individuals that are diagnosed with mental illness. We actually provide everything for them, such as housing. And we become their family because there are so many family members that don't understand them because of their diagnosis. So that was the legacy that he left behind, and it's so important that we do that, especially in the African-American community. And I found out also that the word crazy is so common, especially in the communities, you know, and it's because of their the behavior. You know, they're unstable, and they don't quite
Lena,
understand.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I wanted to ask if bipolar, schizophrenia, is it prevalent in any particular race, and is it prevalent in females versus males? Do you know the answer to either one of those?
Well, you know, again, I'm not a licensed medical professional here. I will say that if anyone wants, you know, medical advice, to seek your local doctor or someone in the clinic in your area or hospital. In my book, An Amazing Mind, I do have resources. I have statistics in the book. It's very resourceful. So I would encourage individuals to go on the website, purchase a copy of the book. You can do that on Amazon.com. And the website is www.amazingmindministries.com.
Go ahead. Go ahead and finish that one. I'm sorry.
No, and so I just want to go ahead and proceed with, you know, how important it is to educate the community with mental illness. Every month I'm holding mental health wellness forums here in the city of Atlanta. And basically they're titled, you know, What's on Your Mind? Let's Talk About It, because it's something that's needed. The communities are not being educated. They don't understand what's going on with their loved ones. So this is an opportunity for individuals to come together, ask questions, talk about it. We have therapists there, psychiatrists. We have a panel of maybe 4 to 5 individuals at each forum. So they're able to come together and talk about it. We also sometimes have local political people there as well to support the events that we have. And they can go on the website to get a current calendar listing with the dates and the times for the forums.
Okay. And they are held locally in Atlanta in that area. Now, are they? Do you tell them that things that they say, what's on their mind, is okay and kept right there?
Well, basically, it's there. I mean, they talk about it. They ask questions. It's just an open forum where they're able to get answers to questions that they need. And then some of them just don't have the resources. They don't have the funding to be able to go to see a psychiatrist. They don't have the health care. So this is something that the community really needs to do, something that, and it's an outlet for them, and as well as for caretakers, because we find that caretakers need an outlet as well. So this gives them an opportunity to be able to come out, because it's very stressful in this type of industry.
I want to add something here, if I may. Hello? Is it okay if I add something?
Yes, yes, go ahead.
I don't want to bash NAMI, National Alliance for Mental Illness, but about 6 years ago, I went to their national convention in Washington. Yes, it was in Washington about 6 years ago. I went to the national convention, and there were hundreds, let me tell you, hundreds of people there. And I can count the African Americans on one hand. It was a disgrace. I was so saddened by that. I thought, you know, so often we don't rise to the occasion like we should as a people. We just don't. And a lot of times it's just a lack of knowledge or fear. Fear can hit and paralyze people. And so when I went there, I made a decision then. I for years, have written for our African-American newspaper here in Detroit, the Michigan Chronicle. I was a columnist for many years here. And when I came back, I made a decision then that I was going to be very transparent with my personal life as far as this issue was concerned. And once I did that, and being well-known here in the city of Detroit, people begin to open up. It just takes one person, I believe, that can reach, you know, just be honest, just the honesty about it. And you'd be very surprised how many people will start telling you their story. I don't know if you all saw Robin Williams' daughter on TV on CNN the other day. You know, he committed suicide.
I didn't see it.
Well, I don't know if you can get a rerun of that if you Google that show, but I watched every bit of it. And she was on the Today Show and CNN, and she was evasive herself, and she's trying to do something. But when they ask her a question about did you have any indication ahead of time why he might have done this, she was very evasive. She did not really want to talk about it personally. And I felt bad about that. I kept saying, tell the truth, open up. But you know what it is? People don't want to share. They don't want, it's almost like a blame game. They're afraid they're going to be blamed for something if they don't share. And you know, maybe because I'm the age I am now and I've written my life story, one thing about it with me, I put it all out there. I even talk about bipolarism in my book, and I did some interviews with people. My autobiography is Born Grown, and I did some interviews with people who were suffering, and they shared their story. And it's the people that are closest to you, they don't want to always admit it because they're afraid they're going to be blamed for something they don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So
the point.
This thing goes so much deeper than, and I don't want to hog up all the time, but it goes so deep. And when I talk about it, I get really emotional because it's very prevalent with me. Not only do I have ADD in my family, but I have schizophrenia and paranoia. So I'm dealing with. In fact, Medic Ministries, I have a website called Medic Ministries, and it stands for Manifesting Entire Deliverance in Christ. We have to address the spirit, the soul, and the body.
Yes. Yeah. Completely agree. Completely agree. Thank you, Minister Mary. Lena, were there any reservations with you in carrying the cause, the word, and making a difference in writing the memoir? Were there any reservations at all?
No, I had no reservations at all. Again, it was something that I have an obligation. At least, I felt like that was something that needed to be told. Because, again, I find that so many family members have struggled for so long and far too long. It goes back to the very beginning of time. you know, in different generations, they just want to sweep it under the rug. They're ashamed of it, and no one knows. No one wants to talk about it. So I have an obligation to end that, to cut that curse off, yeah. because I have children. We have two seeds, you know, that were actually developed out of the marriage. So I felt like I did not want that to continue on with our children, because one day they will get married and they will have children. So if it's not cut off, then it will continue. So this is something yes. that I encourage in family members. If you know what's happening, it's going to be a rotating cycle if nothing is done about it, if it's continued to just, you know, just be swept under the rug. So that's why the forums are available. The website has a lot of educational information, resourceful. And also they can contact me with an email via amazingmindministries@gmail.com as well if they want to contact us. So, you know, I just want to encourage, you know, the listeners to just be aware of your family members, especially your loved ones within the house. Do your research, even with your families, because my husband did not expose it. He was in denial. He didn't talk about it. You know, so his words were often, why do you put up with me? Again, you know, we get caught up in our daily activities and we don't think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you get caught up in the daily routine. Luna, have you had healthy conversations with your children about their dad and the sickness in making sure that the cycle is broken?
Absolutely. I mean, we have constant discussions about it. They're very open about it. They're aware of it. And it's therapeutic for them because, you know, they understand what happened. This is a business that he started, and they were very young when, you know, he actually still started helping individuals. So they really understand, and actually one of them, our son, you know, Noah wants to be involved in the actual family business because he understands, and it's a needed service for the individuals.
All right. Well, let's take a break. Let's stop right there. And I want to come back and talk about surviving. And after that particular day where you found him, how have you survived? And Minister Mary, the same thing, you know, how have you gotten to this point? I can kind of assume that, you know, by God's grace for all of us, but I want to hear your words, and I want the listeners to hear your words. Never Had It So Good, Sports Media Network, and Sisterhood too. We are at the final leg, and this is the most powerful moment for me. I just really love this message, and I want to get that out there. I remember family gatherings and being around and my uncle and that word crazy, you know, he's crazy, leave him alone, you know. Well, sometimes it's more than that, and it's good to be educated and knowledgeable, and the more knowledge that you have, maybe you can kind of head some of this off. Never Had It So Good, Sports Media Network, Sisterhood 2, Lena Jermaine Hurst-Clark is with us also today. ever. Had it so good. Sports Media Network. Thank you to the ladies that have made this vision come true. Sisterhood, too. Here we are with the last leg of that. Lena Jermaine Hurst Clark is with me. And Lena, I wanted to ask, and I'll get Sister Mary back here in a minute, or Minister Mary back here in a minute, and I wanted to ask you, survival, how did you get to this point? After that, you know, fateful day where you learn of his demise and how that happened, you know, how have you survived, and what steps did you take? Okay, we're having a problem here getting her in here. Hold on just one moment here. We're going to take a small break here and come back. Got a couple of technical problems, and we will definitely figure them out. Just hold on here. We got her in here. All right, there you go. Lena, tell me about that day and how you have survived.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I can hear you now. Had a little section there. Go ahead. Your survival and how you got to this point, how you have evolved.
Sure. By the grace of God, I would say that having, you know, mustard seed of faith, support from family, you know, and just being able to be able to help others. That's very therapeutic for me, being able to help other individuals that are suffering from the same illness that my husband was diagnosed with. And not knowing that he had a diagnosis, because, again, he hid it very well. The family knew, his biological family knew, but I did not know. And according to the physicians, you know, they stated I was the last one because of him being in denial. I mean, he was the head of the household, so he did not want me to know that he was actually, you know, suffering from a mental disorder. So the strength of God is what kept me through. And basically just kept me going on a daily basis and just staying into the Word, going to church, and being around positive people every day is what helped me to survive.
Okay. Now, in hindsight, when you look back, were there some signs?
I'm sorry, you said hindsight, were there some what?
Yes. Were there some signs when you look back and you say, okay, that makes sense now. Were there any of those that now, after it was over, you said there were some signs, I just didn't see them because of, you said, the daily routines and pressures of life?
Yes. After, you know, him passing, I did look back and I did recognize that signs were there. And I guess you would say at a point, I just did not connect the dots. You know, I did see bursts of anger at times. There were signs where he would also just, you know, stay away from family activities, mood swings, various mood swings that would happen often. But being such a woman of God and being rooted and grounded, you know, in my faith, I never focused on the negative. I'm not a negative person, so I always thought of the positive, and so I would speak faith to him and encourage him on a daily basis. So that was what I did. But, yes, there were signs there.
All right, all right. We have a lot of people online. Do you want to try to answer some questions tonight, Lena?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, let's see. 2560 is the last four digits of this particular caller. Let me see if we can get them in here. Caller, you're on the air. 2560 is the last four digits. Okay, obviously they want to just listen in. We will get 7104. Caller, you're on the air. Do you want to chime in at all? Okay, all right. So, well, they don't have any that want to really ask questions. They want to listen in, and I understand that. Let's get Minister Mary back in here. I'll ask her the same thing I asked you. And Minister Mary, how have you survived? You know that your sons have some problems. You know that they have passed it on to their offsprings. Do you try to get them help? Do you talk about it freely with them, with your transparency and the offsprings? What are you doing to maybe get this corralled and not pass on from your grandkids or your great-grands to another generation? How do you survive?
Okay, let me say, tagging on to some, I'm glad Lena mentioned mood swings. I want to address that for a moment because I have two bipolar sons and their personalities are totally different. And the reason they call it bipolar is because it can go from one extreme to the other in a twinkling of an eye. They have times when they're very my one son, I do not have a relationship with him for years. He lives in another town. Mm-hmm. He has isolated himself from the family for years, and he's almost an old man now. I'm an old woman. He's almost an old man. But for years, he separated himself deliberately from the family. And so he's very antisociable, whereas the other one, my other son, is very outgoing. He's funny. He's a joy to be around. Both of them are smart. People with these mental illnesses, let me tell you, as Lena can attest to this, they're brilliant. It's a fine line between sanity and insanity. As the saying goes. So there's a big difference in my two sons. One I have a very close relationship with, and the other I have no relationship with. But what I want to say is this: how do I survive? And this might surprise you, but I just, in May of last year, almost a year ago now, was the last time I saw my youngest son that lives right here in the city, who I have been very close to. I had to confront him about some totally unacceptable behavior, some things that he had done, and I had been covering up for him for a long time, and I decided enough is enough. He did this. I am not going to cover for him. I'm going to expose it. So I told his father about something he had done, and he went livid. My son really, really got upset with me because I told my son's father, mm-hmm. who he lives with, I told him, our son is in trouble and he needs help. Maybe you can talk to him because he's not listening to me. And he is still in denial. Nothing's wrong with him. He's fine. Nothing's wrong with him. You're just worrying about something that you don't even need to be worrying about. So they're both in denial. So I prayed about it. And God told me not to worry and not to fret. He said, pray for him. And step back and let him know you love him, and when he's ready for help, you are available. And so all I can do right now is, I know it's a problem. No one in the family has admitted that this is a problem. And my son now, my youngest son is nearly 50 years, is about 48 years old, I'm talking about. Anyway, at Christmas time, he sent me a text at Christmas, and he said, I love you, and I miss you. God bless you, and that was it. I was tempted to call him back, but the Holy Spirit said no, and he's ready to let you know. In the meantime, you just stay on your knees. Because let me tell you something, ladies. If you allow yourself to get caught up in this drama, you will not be able to be any good at all.
To anybody.
And I have 4 minutes. I'm very busy here in Detroit. I have several ministries and a lot of people that are depending on me. And if I get caught up in my son's drama, I won't be able to help the widows, the writers, or myself, or anybody else. So the Holy Spirit told me I had to step back and wait on him. And I'm waiting on the Lord. So that day, that awakening, when he's ready for help, I'll be there, and I'll do everything I can to help him. And I love him. He knows that. It's important they know you love him. Now, once you've done that, you can't do anything else.
Let him know that you love him, and that's what you have to do there.
You have to stand on God's promises, you know, that he says, perfect love, you know, he says love covers a multitude. So your love, you got to cover love. All, you have to step back and just believe God. And when people ask me how my children are, I said they're powerful right now, but they're going to be in the ark of safety before it gets too late. My main concern is their salvation.
That is a great concern. Lena, I wanted to ask you, I'm coming to you as a wife that kind of thinks maybe this is part of the mood swings of my husband, my partner, what would you tell me to do? I'm afraid. I don't even want to admit it to myself, but other than that, I can't even talk to him. What advice would you give me, Lena?
I would basically just say, you know, talk to him. You know, try to get him to open up. You being the spouse, we are very close to that individual on a daily basis, so a lot of times we know what works and we know what doesn't work. But when it deals with mental illness, a lot of times men, they don't talk anyway, but they don't like to express when something's wrong with them. So try to get someone, if he doesn't open with you, get someone on the outside. If it's not a family member or a friend, to try to find out what's going on in their mind once you detect certain behavior issues. So if you can't get them to open up to you, get someone that you know that they're very close to, that they can trust, and that's very loving and understanding, because that's what they're looking for, someone that understands them. And that's the approach that I would recommend.
Now,
I'm going to ask you,
some of the ministries that you do now and in the group sessions, are there some of the same description that I've just given you, some people that maybe suspect some people in their family? Is it some of that, some of those too?
Yes. In doing this for over 10 years, I found that it's generational in most cases. A lot of it starts when they're children, based on different things that have happened in their childhood. Rejection is a main, very major, especially among males. Males really hold things in. They don't talk about it. So it's something that they just hold in, and it continues on, and they carry it on through their adult years. So rejection is one thing, too. We have to really, really watch our children. A lot of things happen, whether it's abuse, whether it's physical or mental abuse. And a lot of times I found, and even talking with some of my clients, that it's something that they have experienced when they were a child. And so I would just pay close attention to that as well. Mm-hmm. And I would also like to add that mental illness, mood disorders, such as depression, is the third most common cause of hospitalization in the U.S., and especially, you know, between the ages of 18 to 44. And I just want to encourage individuals also to go on the website, go on Amazon.com, purchase a copy of the book, An Amazing Mind, because it's very resourceful, and it's also telling my story. It's also just sharing my testimony about what I experienced. Because my vision, again, is to carry on the legacy, and I really want to encourage others to look for the signs, because I really don't want anyone to experience what I had to experience. We need to connect the dots. We need to talk about it. We need to educate each other about it, as well as be very discernful. Be able to discern what's going on with your loved ones. Mm-hmm. Because the word says that the battlefield, you know, is online.
Yeah. Now, are your kids, your children, I'm sorry, some people don't like kids, I want to say your children, are they as protective of you, considering what you all have been through? Do you find them checking on mom as much as mom checks on them?
Oh, yes, all the time, especially my son. I mean, he's overprotective. I mean, now he is actually the man of the house, so he's always checking on his mother to make sure that I'm okay. So, they know what their mother has gone through. And so, again, you know, I educate them on a daily basis. So to answer your question, yes. And I would love to share two scriptures, you know, to leave with the viewers, because I found that in going through what I've experienced, that staying closer to God, developing a relationship with Him, and knowing who you are as an individual is so important, because we have so much out here in the world and society that we have to compete with, even our children. You know, we have the social media, and so a lot of this is, there are so many different things that affect the individuals in their thinking and in their minds. So I always say and encourage people, know who you are as an individual, because if you know who you are, then you're not going to go out there and try to be like someone else. So, you know, again, that has a lot to do with their way of thinking. And one of the scriptures that I would like to leave with viewers tonight is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The second scripture I would like to leave, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Amen. Wow. Powerful, powerful. What's next for you, Lena? I've seen you on different television shows. I've seen you moving around and doing a lot of things. What's next for you, big, that's coming up? Besides Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network, what is the next thing that you're going to do?
I'm working on a different project right now, actually getting the message out there, doing a sequel to the book titled What's on Your Mind, because it's so important to know and to be concerned about what's on our loved one's mind, not just people you know, but people you don't know. Love is the key. We have to love each other. We have to understand each other and accept people for who they are and for what God created them to be, finding their purpose. So that is my mission right now, is to be able to touch the world in the best way possible, understanding people, getting the message out there that it's okay to talk about what's on your mind. We all wake up in a different way every morning. So who are we to say that we're not, you know, going through something mental? They're just on different levels. So we really don't have, you know, we really can't just judge someone or say, okay, it's something wrong with that person, because we basically have to look in the mirror and judge ourselves first before we can actually judge someone else. So that is one other mission that I'm on. And everything else is just to come together, you know, and to help individuals in the best way possible to understand who they are, because this mind thing is powerful, and that's what the enemy, that's what he attacks, because he can't have anything else. So what he does is he attacks your mind, because your mind controls your body.
Excellent, excellent. Give your contact information if there's someone out there that would like to get in contact with you for a myriad of reasons, but also to kind of, you know, get some solid information or contact, and then maybe feel better about what they're doing or get some counseling through what you're doing. Give me where we can find the book and how they can get in contact with you, Lena.
Absolutely. You can get a copy of the book on Amazon.com, or you can go onto the website, which is www.AmazingMindMinistries.com. You can email me at AmazingMindMinistries@gmail.com. Phone number contact, 770-765-7566. And I will repeat everything. You can purchase a copy of An Amazing Mind on Amazon.com, or you can order it on the website, www.AmazingMindMinistries.com. Email AmazingMindMinistries@gmail.com. Phone number, 770-765-7566.
Powerful, powerful. I appreciate everything that you're doing. I appreciate your story and your survival, your journey. Thank you, Lena, for being on. Pastor, Minister Mary, I will contact you and get in touch with you, and I thank you for being a part of this day and this weekend and making this sisterhood marathon everything that I wanted it to be. Ladies, thank you both.
Thank you.
Take care of your
awesome,
cold,
awesome.
Whatever's going on with you. Take care of yourself.
Yes, it's a cold.
Take care of
I will.
Take
I'm
going to
take tomorrow off. Nope. Yes, yes. Thank you, guys. I'm going to take tomorrow off. No radio for me. I appreciate you guys. Never Had It So Great Sports Media Network.